Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Oh, my God, who was sitting here?
Give me three guesses
and Very loud over here.
Okay.
Oh.
Stop breathing in my ear. Damn it. Today is May 1st, if you can believe it. You're listening to Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. And being a graduate of the University of Hard Knocks with a degree in results, I'm here to tell you that... We had quite a night last night.
And, oh, we did.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. We were out at the fundraiser for Eric Jensen.
Yeah.
And we got some things to talk about there. But before we get there, I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, a ball of endless energy, an immovable object, unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes, fighter at the desk of money.
Doesn't back down.
There you have it.
Good morning.
It was going to be a fist fight there last night. Just kidding. Anyway, the kid that rocks around the clock's not rocking around the clock.
No,
here.
He's actually on assignment.
He's on assignment somewhere.
Out
We're not
of
sure
state.
Where. He's out of state somewhere. Who knows what he could be doing. Wow.
He's working.
He's working?
He's working.
Well, I thought we had a guest.
I'm not sure
what's going on there. So
we'll move along. Who knows?
Let's hope
everything's okay.
I didn't prepare an extensive program today thinking we had a guest. So let me see what we've got here. And I guess you've got to be prepared no matter what.
Yeah, let's talk about the fundraiser. It was a great night. A lot of people turned out. A lot of new faces. For some of us that do a lot of fundraisers or help with them.
Yep.
And it was great to see the new faces and the great support. And it was wonderful energy in the room. And
yeah,
everybody
no,
had
just,
a good time,
good time.
I think.
Good food, good energy is all good up there. And I think they raised some good money up for Eric Jensen's campaign. And, you know, it's interesting what's going on out there. It's this race has turned from, you know... into, I guess, or I don't even think it turned into it. It's just become apparent that this is the establishment candidates against the conservative, principled, constitutional candidates. I mean, I don't know what the best way to put it is. But, you know, it makes me think of the forum. Now, I heard Terry and those guys talking about the difference between a debate and a forum. And now I went to the Republican Central Committee's forum, and I gotta tell you, what a crock.
Right, I've heard that.
Talk about.
I've seen some highlights, and it's like, oh,
talk about the fix is in. I mean, talk about a bias towards incumbents. And I don't get it. I mean, I was listening to Stephanie Bridget. I don't think she's a Republican at all. I mean, not any more Republican. Mitt Romney. Not any more Republican than Murkowski. Not any more Republican than,
well,
I don't know.
Just because you say that?
Modi?
Yeah, because you say that, and maybe you do have an R behind your name, doesn't make you that?
No, because I don't understand. Is this about having an R or D in front of your name now? Or is it about, you know, having principles that you stand by?
Do you have integrity? Oh, we got Jimmy on the line. Let's go with Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
It's kind of cool timing because your guest isn't here, so I thought I'd call in and
no.
talk about some stuff.
Good job. Hey, we're...
well, that all depends. What are we speaking of?
Folks, have you heard, is Gavin Newsom raising the gas tax?
I've heard that, but I don't know. I don't know personally.
They've talked about it. I'm not sure that it's actually been codified yet.
Okay, because it seems kind of funny to me that if we have what they say is, $23 billion or $48 billion in surplus, why are they raising the gas tax?
Well, I think you can answer that one, Jimmy. Remember who it is.
Well... Yeah, there's the basic, we just want to control everything
yeah,
argument.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Run so us into the ground.
That's really, you know, odd to me, which is normal for California, is odd, that they're talking about raising the gas tax, what I heard, 3 cents per gallon. So, anyway, the other thing is let's talk about our pumpkinhead president, Joe Biden.
Okay. I'm not sure pumpkin describes it as well as some other adjectives, but
I don't want to offend pumpkins, but
you racist against the pumpkins.
Wouldn't it have been great if Joe Biden could have sent all the equipment we left behind in Afghanistan to the Ukraine?
Oh, that would
be logical.
Let me think about that for a second. I learned real slow, but I learned real good. And why did we just give them the equipment in the first place?
Right, but it's just such a waste. You know, we left all that stuff behind in Afghanistan when somebody like Ukraine could have used all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm just thinking we should have brought it all home, and I'm not necessarily buying into this whole Ukraine thing, World War III deal. Anyway, you know, I mean, and I understand what you're saying, Jimmy. I agree that, you know, why would we leave it there? We could have used it somehow productively instead of giving it to our enemies.
Right. I was being a little sarcastic.
I know. I know. So, but it's crazy. You know, this guy, you cannot have done as many things wrong by accident as this guy has done, whether it's the economy, Afghanistan, inflation, the border, the wall, all of it. I mean, if you were trying to wreck the country, this would be the roadmap.
Exactly. These people know what they're doing. They're doing this all on purpose, in mm-hmm. my own humble opinion.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And they've been at it a long time.
And I heard the ruble's doing very well now.
Well, that's what happens when you say, hey, we're not going to accept dollars anymore because we think that we want to trade in our own currency.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to opt out of that dollar reserve currency worldwide king dollar thing.
Right. Talk about a complete backfire. Joe Biden's up there, you know, saying he's going to crush the Russian economy. And now the ruble is doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got India and China in line to buy all this natural gas from Russia. Anyways, I just want to throw that out there. And I'm going to leave you with one more thing, Mark, just because you're a financial guy. And what if, say, in California, if a store opened up and they traded silver at spot price for goods?
Oh, they actually do that in some places already.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, not
California, though.
Not California. I know, shocker. But silver and gold are actually legal tender in Utah. You can. A lot of people mm-hmm. trade in gold and silver. And there's
and
some
I
other
think
places.
I was going to say, one of the Dakotas, I think, might be in there, but I'm not sure.
Well, North Dakota has its own bank you can trade silver up there, I believe, too. But the biggest one that stands out is Utah. They actually have a bank over there. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, where they will convert metals into dollars and back forward and to you on a credit card.
Wow. See, that's why I wanted to ask you that. But, I mean, like, say if some store owner, like, you know, a general store owner, if they, you know, if you bought, you know, $50 worth of goods for 2 ounces worth of silver, could the government tax them on that?
Depends. It really, because probably not. Because if it's especially if it's legal tender like eagles and
right,
stuff
yeah.
that are minted by the government, you know, that's one of the reasons that they're more desirable as government minted coins, is because then that is legal tender. You can pay your tax. Well, I don't know if they'll let you pay your taxes in it. In theory, they should.
They should.
But they will let you. Do different things, like put it in an IRA. It's tax deductible going to the IRA. They'll accept that as opposed to, you know, Joe Schmo's smelter down the road.
Okay, that brings me to generic rounds. Would that be the same thing if it wasn't, like, legal tender? If you had just, like, generic rounds, could a store trade and not be taxed on that?
Well, you know, the store itself wouldn't be taxed on it anyway. The one
the transaction would be, right?
Yeah, exactly. The transaction would be treated as income.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. That's all I need to know. Thanks, Mark.
You bet.
Have a good day.
All right.
Me
you too. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, that's it's really just money, you know. I mean, and we're seeing, you know, and this is the big elephant in the room. I went off on it last night. I was talking to Sally. You know, it's like. Nobody wants to talk about the Fed as being the problem of this whole thing. It really is. I mean, you know, if you could counterfeit unlimited supplies of money, and
which
they're doing,
been doing
for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you own radio stations? Would you own, I don't know, TV stations? Would you own politicians? Would you own banks? Would you own real estate? Would you own everything? Because if you Google the Fed's balance sheet right now, their assets, okay, are going through the roof. How do they get assets? They counterfeit money and buy stuff.
They make it up and steal it.
That's right, because they're the only legal monopoly on printing the dollar that exists worldwide. That's why the world reserve currency status is so important, is that they have a monopoly on printing that currency. And if you don't like it, they might attack you. You know, I mean, remember Gaddafi? Yeah, and decided to go to the backed currency in his own country? Well, look what happened to Gaddafi. Yeah, they came in and they killed him.
Right.
You know, the U.S. invaded Libya. And you could cite many examples that are just like that over the last 100 years. That's the whole thing. Our dollar is backed by the military. Okay.
By our government.
Well, by the government. And,
yeah.
You know, there's some arguments. It's backed by the labor of people and all kinds of different things.
Yeah, but they're the ones in control of it.
But the thing is that if I can print money out of thin air, with no backing, then I can buy tons of stuff. Not only that, the other insidious thing is that I'm lending it to the government in interest. You know, and
lending it to us so we can pay interest on our own money.
See, that's the thing that when I first started studying this, that was the big question in my mind that I said, if the dollars are money, why are we charging ourselves interest for borrowing it from ourselves? Because think about that for a second.
You mean that's not the way you do it?
Well, why?
You don't put your money in your safe and then charge yourself interest on it?
I mean,
you know?
So if you were just counterfeiting money, you might increase the supply. You might have some inflation. But you wouldn't know $30 trillion, you know, quadrillion dollars to yourself, because why would you do that to yourself? See, so when you understand that's not really our money, just because it says Federal Reserve doesn't mean it's a federal agency. It's not a part of the federal government,
right.
No more than Federal Express is. And and just because it says U.S. dollar on that, doesn't mean that
it has any value.
Well, not just that, but if they're the only ones that can create it and have a monopoly on that creation and charge us interest on that monopoly, see, that's why I think we have all of these problems, and nobody ever wants to talk about it, because it's you know, you go to the Bible, money's the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So if you're saying that, you know, if you're sitting in your bathtub like Scrooge rolling around in the dollar bills, you're kind of screwed up. you know.
You think you might have a problem? In more ways than one? I mean, okay.
Our guest,
I don't want to know why you thought of that analogy, but okay.
Not that I've ever done that before, but I'm just saying. But it's true. You know, if you are so caught up in greed, I mean, that's the point. If you're so caught up in greed, and I look at these guys like Klaus Schwab, and now I'm finding out that, you know who Klaus Schwab's mentor was? Henry Kissinger.
Oh, that was one of them.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Soros, I thought, was in that
well,
realm,
I think
too.
Soros is in the, but these guys, so think about that. If you were like Dr. Evil, and you were bored of playing golf, and you had unlimited supplies of money because you can counterfeit it, or borrow it at no interest from the people who are counterfeiting it, because we're all in the same club. We're a part of the polo club down there at the clubhouse. What's left? I mean, it's like Pinky and the Brain. We're going to take over the world. I mean, so with that said, our guest just walked in the door.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I think we got a little sidetracked somewhere along the line.
No, I was scheduled to come in, but I think I just forgot, to be honest.
Well, it was kind of a
must
late night.
Must have heard
night.
Us talking about you. Yeah.
I did, on the radio.
You're here. It's all good, you know.
Said,
at least you guys are good.
I told Lori, I said, I think that's me.
Yep. So I figured, we're like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Like, oh, wow.
Well, I really didn't prepare anything. except for the second half of the show when I wasn't sure if you'd still be here.
It's all good.
So we'll just move the time slots around. And
absolutely.
I
appreciate being here.
Good.
No, thanks for coming in. We
Patrick
appreciate
Jones,
that.
Supervisor of District 4, my supervisor, and I'm holding him accountable at this moment.
Well, a lot's gone on, and, we're right in the middle of a very exciting election cycle. June 7th is coming very quickly. Not tomorrow, but the following Monday, Shasta County residents will get their ballots in the mail, or at least start. So ballots are coming out within 1 week. You've probably already got your voter guide. So a lot going on, a lot of candidates out there speaking and talking and sharing their ideas. And so I look forward to hopefully seeing some change. We have, a lot of races often are just run unopposed, but not this year.
No, almost all. Well, we have a lot of them that are being, somebody's getting in the fight and standing up for the people.
Well, now people have a choice. They can listen to people and have a choice. And so I'm appreciative of that. And so I'm looking forward to good things.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a difficult but exciting and adventurous year all at the same time. I mean, look how things are shaping up. You know, you got the June primary coming. It looks like there's going to be fireworks in Shasta County, I think, over that one.
Because like Patrick said, a lot of these offices, these people have been in office for years, and nobody's run against them, and they've just been, going along.
I think Eric Jensen said it pretty well when he was at the Republican Central Committee meeting, or debate or forum or whatever you want to call that kangaroo show, that it's about the establishment candidates against the, the conservative patriots now?
Well, I don't know. I was called a political cannibal last week, so I don't know what what title that they want to give us.
I must have missed that one.
Another one to the bucket
list,
right? Yeah,
I've got a few of those. Well, these races are very important, and I think the thing that people forget about is the June 7th primary. Most people, and I was guilty of this, 25 years ago, they think all these will be seen again in November, and you'd be wrong.
Right.
Because it's once you eliminate the people at the June primary, that's it.
Well, if there's only two people in the race, most of these races are going to be over.
The only ones
that are going to move on for sure, 100%, is your Senate, Assembly, and your congressional races. Those are the only ones that absolutely will move on. The top two move on to November. But all the others will be over most likely in June. At least 80% will, because there's only two people in those races. And for the two supervisor seats, because there's more than two people, they could move on to November. But my prediction is they will be over June 7th as well.
Right. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that there's going to be a changing of the guard here, if not in total, in part, for sure. And I think it's about time, and I think it needs to be happening. We need to take this county back from these guys. They, you know, I hear every single one of them is that I've listened to spews this, well, they don't have, the other guys don't have experience. Well, how do you get experience? By not getting elected? But they never talk about their record. They never talk about what they've done. They never talk about, you know, the statistics being, you know, it's like Stephanie Bridges keeps telling us that, you know, well, I got 80, 90% conviction rate and it's complete baloney.
Well, you know, and I've served not only, you know, on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, but also Redding City Council. And when you're first elected, you don't have experience
no.
for those. And what we're looking for, I think what the public is looking for, what I look for, is does somebody have good, solid common sense that's not going to be influenced by big donors?
Honesty
and,
would
you
be
know,
a good...
And integrity.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for. And I think the public, if you can get your message out, because that's really what it's all about, is reaching the voters, getting your message to a potential voter, which is difficult to do, particularly in a primary where the voter turnout will be less than 40%.
Mm-hmm, right.
And if you can get your message across, like candidate for District 5, Chris Kellstrom, his message that he's not a politician, that hits home to a lot of people.
I think that's yeah. the best message right now, because I'm tired of these incumbents that have been there forever that, you know, the old, it's politics as usual, you know, the blood-sucking little insects that never go away.
Well, they don't have to answer to anything, or they haven't.
There's no accountability.
Yeah, they have. They've just been going along, doing whatever they want. Everybody gets along.
I'm going to
shake your hand, you shake my hand, it's all good.
I'm going to pick on Stephanie Bridges here a little bit, because she's the one that's in my sights here right now for several different reasons. You know, it's like at the Republican Central Committee meeting. She has her own staff there. You know, all of them, I mean, I don't know how many, but there's a bunch of people there that work for her. And they're all, yay, Stephanie, Bridget, yay! But it's like...
Yeah, if you have to go to that extent, you might have a problem.
That's what I'm saying, because, gee, do you think any of her staff, I mean, I heard a commercial this morning, 100% of my staff supports me. Okay, so do you think the one that doesn't is going to mouth off? I mean, think about that for a second. You think you're going to have a job next week?
Yeah, you agree with me or you're out of here, you know?
Well, truth be known, when all DAs come in, there's usually some change.
A changing of the guard, yeah. Sure.
And that was certainly the case with Stephanie. I think 17 individuals left within that office, and replacements were found. And that's normal. You see that whether it was Benito or Carlton or Bridget. Who knows whether you'll see that with Jensen or not. I think he's a pretty likable guy. I think he's a pretty reasonable. And I think
if
you're
pretty
doing,
stand up.
Yeah, and I
yeah.
think if you're doing a good job, he's going to want to keep you
right.
and show you off. And that's what I think a lot about a lot of these positions. If we're doing good, we should be showing off everything that we should be proud of the efficiency.
There should be some transparency
with our tax dollars in
yeah.
every, not only with the DA, but with the Sheriff's Department, with the Board of Supervisors. We shouldn't be hiding any of those things. We should be showing them off. And again, you know, you see a lot of talk around election time, and then it kind of fades away.
Right.
And so, you know, I think now we have to start holding people more accountable. I think what we're about to see on June 7th is the continuation of the course correction that needed to occur.
Right.
It needs
and,
to happen.
And Stephanie Bridges, she was appointed, correct? She was not elected.
She was.
She was appointed.
By definition, on the
last
election.
Unopposed,
yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And we see that all the time. Once you're an incumbent, oftentimes it's very difficult. People aren't going to run up against the incumbent. They're well-known. They've got the media. You know, we're seeing that with Bridget right now, right?
Yep.
Channel 7 all the time. And so it's pretty nerve-wracking. But I think there's a change, because what we've seen out of a lot of, particularly with the Board of Supervisors, the last four incumbents, they're gone.
Right.
They didn't make that hurdle. People are now saying, we don't want a politician.
You know what I think has really happened is the people started paying attention. Because before, you know, 10 years ago, nobody, oh yeah, that's a guy's a Republican, he's a good guy, until you go out to a couple rallies and see what who he really is or hear him really speak. Or, you know, it's like Bridget the other day at the Republican Central Committee meeting talking, you know, we want equal protection under the law, but she's worried about the Black Lives Matter guy's rights more than she is the other guy's rights who's a conservative.
Yeah, I think if you mention, you know, Black Lives Matters in Shasta County, you know, you're not going to get a very favorable response, you know, percentage-wise. And, you know, the majority of the people here, you know, are going to have trouble with that organization. And, you know, and so to mention them is probably going to alienate more people than you're going to gain.
Well, I understand what her argument was trying to be. Her argument was trying to say that I want to protect everybody's rights, okay? But if you go back and you look at the case, that was complete crap. I mean, was there political things going on there? It had to be. Why would you go after a low-level misdemeanor of throwing a glass of water at somebody and then try to connect all the dots to the recall movement?
But, Mark, when you mentioned Black Lives Matters, you meant to do that, you know, and the way it should have been done. I mean, that was done on purpose, deliberately, for the desired effect in her group.
Right.
I would have said all lives matter.
Right. No. That's what I'm talking about.
You know. And with that, guys, we do have to go to a break. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about this? He's got purple hair, had 7 vaccines, logs on to Twitter, and what does he see? Right-wingers back from suspended accounts. He panics and screams and he starts freaking out. Run to your safe spaces and be afraid. Elon just took over Twitter today. Let's shut down the left wing, let's hear from the right. 10,000 accounts back in business tonight. We're all sick and tired of communist punks working for Disney and CNN Plus. So take off your mask, go jump on a flap, and smile at those snowflakes who took all your rights. Run to your safe spaces and be afraid. Elon just took over Twitter today. Let's shut down the left wing, let's hear from the right. 10,000 accounts back in business tonight. Now all of you liberals repeat after me. Say Elon's my daddy and I love free speech. Now all of you liberals repeat after me. Say Elon's my daddy and I love free speech.
Okay then. The latest from Bobby Brown. Or Buddy Brown, I mean.
Well, we really don't know our daddies most of the time. So we're told who they are.
Well,
boy, that's not controversial,
depends,
is it?
And what content you're using them
from. I think we have a caller.
We do. We've got Siskiyou Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Patrick,
how you doing?
Good
morning.
Right.
Doing great. Patrick, you're the hero down there. You started the revolution. Well, all of you guys have, but Patrick really is the man of the hour right now. He's the one making everybody else. Anyway, we've supported Patrick a lot up here in the past. I still have some t-shirts from running for assembly. I'm using them for rags now.
Put them to good use. They cost me a lot.
Well, I bought 10 of them. You guys talk about the establishment, you know, the meeting you guys of the forum you had the other night, and it was the establishment against the patriots, I guess you'd call it.
Yep.
Who is the establishment? Is it the Chinese that run California? And, you know, is my suspicion. And I think we need to bring more attention to that because, I think you guys said at one time that 81% of your budget is behavioral health, is that correct?
I think it's more like 50%, isn't it? Yeah, it's like 50%.
Yeah, well, same thing up here too. It's just it's a enormous amount of social services,
engineering.
Yes, exactly, and that's what California is, and that is socialism or communism, better known. So what is this? Is this China, you know, running over California? I mean, they're buying up property everywhere in California. They may have just bought Steven Spielberg's place up here. I'm not totally sure of that yet, but it's a great suspicion because it's out there in where all the big cartel grows are going on with the Chinese and the Hmongs and the, I think they say even Russians are out there.
Well, here's part of what's happening, Steve, is that, okay, China has been buying up our debt for years. They were the largest single holder of U.S. debt other than the Fed. You know, it's like $8 trillion. They're dumping our dollars. They got to get rid of them, number one. And, you know, number two, they are kind of our enemies. And so they're buying up stuff. They're subverting our government. I mean, look what happened with Hunter Biden's laptop, all of that. And China Joe and everything. So I think all of the above is probably the deal. They're trying to use those dollars to sink our economy as well as run our institutions.
Well, I don't know if it's China, but you got BlackRock in there that is one of
the... Well, it's all the above.
Yeah, largest landholders in the United States.
Well, that's... and also Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a farmer. He went farmer on us. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Let's keep it focused. I mean, if we keep it focused on one or two things, we might be able to do something about it, like China running, you know, and people being more educated about China running our governments and our establishment, as you say, you know, these people that are running that just come up with all this gobs of money from, you know, all these supporters and stuff, you know.
Right.
But I think we...
And the homeless has never gotten better in 40 or 60 years since we've been, this whole welfare thing initiated itself back in the 60s. We saw it, and it's not gotten better. It's gotten worse. The drug war has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. They don't want to fix any of this thing. It's not a drug war. It's drug-implanted.
No, and I was going to say, Steve, we have to start at the local level. That's the main thing that we're talking about here, or wanting people to be aware of.
You guys are doing it, and I keep trying to bring that to here, but no, I just don't have it. You know, I'm fighting, and Mark Barron, of course, there's a few of us trying to bring it local. But a lot of people are out there in Sacramento or the federal, you know, thinking about they're going to change it out there. But it is. It's right there. And you guys are doing it. I listen to you every week, and you're just... You are the example of the 23 counties that we have for the state of Jefferson need to be following. And that's what we really have to do is the supervisors start talking to the other supervisors and the people of other counties and pull these 23 counties together. Stop paying taxes to California because it's totally corrupt. You know, if one black guy is shot, there's 10,000 black people out in the street that night. We got an illegal president who was not voted in illegally, and us white people are sitting on our butts.
I feel your frustration there, Steve. And 2,000 Mules is coming out tomorrow, and it's in theaters nationwide, and I'm hearing it's sold out. So there's people that are waking up and paying attention. It's just, you know, when you're turning an aircraft carrier, you just don't, do a U-turn on a dime. It takes a little while to get the ship
right. Right. And here in Shasta County, it hasn't just happened the last year or two.
Oh, it's been a grind.
It's been a work in progress for many years. Yeah. It's just finally the last couple of years, enough people have been able to gather together and start making a difference and changing people that are in office. So hopefully, don't give up the fight up there, Steve, because there's still hope.
Oh, never, never. I've been fighting. I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm still fighting, of course.
Thank you.
Freedom. Freedom.
Right. Hey, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
All
for
right,
call,
thanks
Steve.
For calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, Steve is right. China is probably our single largest problem today. With the amount of trade deficit that is occurring right now.
It you sure it's not white supremacy?
I'm pretty sure China is a serious problem. However, it's a little above my pay grade. Obviously, it is a huge issue. But, you know, Steve did talk about, you know, the social services, and we have almost a $300 million budget for social services. And that's unfortunate that California is dishing out that much money. I would really like to have that amount of money for other things that I think would be so much better for Shasta County.
Yeah.
What we can do with that kind of money is not continue to perpetuate bad programs that are clearly has shown to be failures. Let's take that money, use it for programs that are going to be efficient and effective and work. And don't accept the money if you're going to perpetuate the problem that you're trying to solve, which tends to be what I see.
Right.
And people say, oh, hey, you're going to try to gut this or gut that. And it's like, I want efficiencies. We should never be ashamed of trying to have government efficient. It should be as efficient
right.
as private sector.
I don't understand why people are so upset about reviews of the government programs, whether it's, you know, Health and Human Services or the road.
If you work for them, you have to worry about
it. Well, or the road crew, for example, you know, I mean, I just want them to be operating efficiently, you know, and not overspending the people's money in programs that don't work. I mean, and I don't know if you've got anything that we want to bring up about Health and Human Services. I know there's some things on the agenda on Tuesday.
Well, there's a lot of stuff there, but I want to bring something up that you did touch on earlier, and that was the Reading Republican Central Committee formed the other day, and I did partake in that for a few minutes anyhow. What we've seen with the Republican Central Committee over many years is that it has been infiltrated more and more and more by people that are not truly Republicans.
Right.
And in fact, just straight up rhinos. And we have seen that. And then in the last year or so, they've gotten to be disrespectful for people that are truly conservative and solid Republicans. And I saw something that happened the other night that I haven't seen in a very long time, if ever. Somebody finally stood up, and in the words of my good friend Peter Scales, somebody finally got some balls and said exactly what needed to be said.
Right.
And I tell you that some people were thinking, well, that might not have been such a good thing. But, you know, we should be doing more of that. We should be calling things out the way that they are. And someone at that debate did. And then left and said, I'm not going to take part when you're not who you are.
Right.
That frustrated me so much when I was on Reading City Council that everybody said they were Republicans, right? And you watch their votes and they weren't. Former Assemblyman Dick Dickerson was exactly that. Said he was a Republican, but in fact his vote showed that he was quite liberal. And so what he did was he was lying to the public that you're not who you are.
Because if they said who they really were, they wouldn't get elected.
Well, possibly not. Now, on contrast, Francie Sullivan, who I disagreed with 99% of the time, was a liberal Democrat, but at least she said it.
Right.
And
yeah,
she gets elected or not. So at least I could have, she was honest, right?
Right.
But these other people that say there's something and not, it just upset me because they were lying to the public. And I've always tried to be fairly straightforward with what I've said. People pretty much know where I feel, how I feel. And if you don't like it, then don't vote me back in, right? And I think that's fair,
right?
If you don't like, if I'm too conservative for this district or for that city, I'm gone. That's fair enough. That's the way the system is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Everyone should know exactly how their elected official is thinking. And it was just refreshing to see someone finally stand up, call it the way that it is. And I think the fallout has been actually, superb, for that individual. And so I'm proud that that person stood up with others not doing it. One person out of all of them stood up, said the truth, and moved on.
That's what it takes, though. It just takes that one guy to stand up. You know, have you ever seen the movie Glory with Denzel Washington? And they're the black, troop of Civil War soldiers. And they get the... handed down from up on high the fact that they're not going to get their pay.
Right.
And, you know, so they're all grumbling, and then the one guy stands up and says, tear it up! And then they all tear up their thing saying, well, you know, if that's the way it is, I'm not even going to participate in this program. And I think that's what we need to see more and more, and I think that's kind of a tear it up moment. It's like, you know something? You guys are just pretending that this is one way when it's really another, and I'm tired of it too. We went to meeting after meeting at the Board of Supervisors, and, you know, unless you show up for a couple of years and see what people are voting on, they can tell you all day long that they're Republican, and but they keep voting for something that's not Republican or conservative values.
Sure. But I think the recall kind of spoke to that.
Right.
It showed that people did say, okay, tear it up, because they really didn't think the recall was going to happen or work or change anything, and it made a huge difference in this community.
Linda almost tore up her microphone right there.
Almost.
You know, and for a lot of people, you know, with the Modi recall, you know, he was probably the toughest opponent as far as someone entrenched and not who he said he was. And for that to occur showed that there is a change, that people are motivated. A lot of people are motivated. They're funded and they're effective. And if they can do that, then there is nothing that they can't do,
right,
as long as they put their minds to it. That's what that shows. And, you know, that story became an international story because what we're facing here is what many counties all over this country and other places throughout the world are having the same problem, in that they're not being represented. We are a conservative county. We should have conservative representation, and it wasn't happening. And the people finally rose up and did something about it. And I've gotten people, you know, calling me from all over. And, you know, and I didn't gather one signature, so I wasn't really a part of the actual grassroots effort. It was mostly led by women, moms, grandmas, business owners. But I watched them work hard to get that done. And I was very proud of them. And I was, you know, glad that we have in our California Constitution the right to do that.
Right.
And because other states don't. And what I did see on that, to bring back something that Stephanie Bridget did in her office, and it shows very poorly on her office, is when we had two proponents that gathered signatures correctly and legally. Stephanie Bridget set two DA investigators to go intimidate those two proponents, two moms.
Yep.
And I tell you what, It was clear intimidation from her office. I was shocked. I called her immediately upon finding out, asked that I would like to file a formal complaint. She told me she does not have a complaint form. I told her, you need to make one. She said, duly noted. And that was about the
end. See, that's where she lost me, too. I had no feelings one way or the other on her at all at that point. I didn't know who she was. You know, you hear whispers in the wind, but I try not to listen to rumors too much. I like to deal with facts and stuff that's of knowledge. You know, and I know both of those people that they went out with those investigators. We know where they came from. We went to the office. You know, they went straight back to Stephanie Bridges' office. You know, and then the other thing that happened right at that point was they said that the general purpose committee was under investigation as well.
Right.
And it's like, really? So we made some phone calls. We called down to the FPC. That's right. My sister called down to the FPCC or SCCP or
FPPC.
Whatever.
and to Shasta County. I called the DA's office as well.
We called the guys in Sacramento first and they said, there's no criminal investigation going on. It must be your DA.
Right.
Call the DA here, and they go, no, it must be Sacramento.
Well, and it's really shocking, because if there is an issue, the Fair Political Practice Commission does investigate these things, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that we have them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And so if there was an issue, you send it over to them, they will look into it.
Right.
But then the DA personally got involved in it.
Why?
Because it was politically motivated. They did not like what was occurring. It's common knowledge that Stephanie and her husband is friends with Leonard Modi. That kind of stuff has to stop.
Right. Well, and how? What else could it be besides politically motivated? Who sends guys out to investigate a recall?
I mean, to me, it was just shocking, right? I mean, you just don't do that.
No, that's what I mean. No. On what evidence? Was there a complaint? Was there something? I mean, you just don't send. And then you're spending time. You're spending money. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You're spending money and time with these people to go out and investigate something.
To intimidate them.
Well, whatever you want to call it. And at the same time, the conviction rate in Shasta County is not real good.
Well, and you know, and you can get away with that stuff in the past because, you know, Channel 7, the Record Search site, is not going to print it, right?
Right.
The difference today, however, is there's other sources of media that will get that information out. And then you'll have to deal with it. And, you know, I'd like to set up a polygraph center for all elected officials and see how well that goes. And, you know, in the future, for these battles and ultimately the war to be won, it's a war of information. Getting our information out, giving people a choice on what information they want to believe, whatever that may be.
Right.
Because if you listen just simply to Channel 7 or the read the newspaper, you are not going to be in a good shape.
You're not getting informed on anything.
Well, you're not going to get the truth.
I was going to say, you don't get the truth behind that, that's for sure.
Well,
and that the people need to know what's actually going on.
It's like Rich just posted in the chat room, state law requires agencies that employ peace officers to have complaint forms and so forth. And I would assume that the DA's office is also a part of that program. So why would she say we don't have a complaint form? You know, or why would she say that I won't, even if they didn't have a complaint form, why wouldn't she just say, let's come and have a meeting and we'll sit down and I'll help you draft the complaint, or I'll show you how to draft the complaint or something. Not, gee, get away from me, son, you bother me.
Well, the entrenchment's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. I remember back to a story back in 2010 when I was mayor. I asked our city manager if I could go to the mayor's convention in D.C. Said, nope, don't have the budget for that. And I said, okay, well, everybody else went, but apparently I don't get a go.
Well, and you are a little redheaded.
You know, and not that I like D.C. or the weather there, but and then another issue came up where a Tiger grant and some other grants were going to be discussed in D.C. and you kind of had to be in front of them if you were going to, you know, to have a good ear. And of course they didn't have the budget, so I had a developer that had an interest in this area and he sent me there. And he set up, we had like 12 meetings in one day. We went to the Department of Transportation. We went to the, you know, meeting after meeting. And I had a taxi there to take me to meeting after meeting after meeting. I was able to sit in front of Dianne Feinstein and
I'm sorry.
No, there's some irony there, you know, as a gun dealer sitting with Feinstein, not knowing that I was a gun dealer. She knew I was the mayor of Reading. You know, that I had.
Did you meet her Chinese chauffeur?
Maybe he was the one that was getting him from point A to point B, no?
Well, she had a bill. It was like a $48 million bill, and it always goes to San Francisco County, right? And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, I know it's not a huge bill as far as bills go, but, you know, if $5 or $10 million had come to Shasta County, that would be meaningful here. And she looked at her chief of staff and said, give him $5 million. So when I came home, I had $5 million with me, and I asked our city manager to, here's all the places that I'd been, and to please send the thank you cards, and particularly for Feinstein for, you know, at least getting us a little bit of money for transportation needs here in Shasta County. Well, they killed all that, and they turned down the $5 million, and then they had the city attorney try to bring up charges that this was a gift of public funds. And so the FPPC ruled on it and said, absolutely not. They reviewed every place that I went and said, wow, you were very busy. We were shocked that you could make so many meetings in one day. They said you did in one day what most people would do in one week. And they said, no, this is certainly not a gift of public funds. But the city attorney tried to file charges. He tried to do everything that he could to remove me from office for trying to help the city, something positive. Right. And then they blew a $5 million grant, and it just went back to San Francisco County. And in the paper, it makes it look like I took a gift from a developer. I was on a luxury cruise. I got 5 hours of sleep.
Well, you've been the redheaded stepchild for Shasta County for quite some time as far as the media is concerned and the good old boys.
And then recently, I've been called a blackmail.
Yes.
I've been accused of blackmail by the media.
Well, you don't have to be black now to be involved in blackmail. You could actually be a white supremacist involved in blackmail.
So on April 8th, you know, I had never been accused of blackmail before. So that was a new one. That was a new one this last month and for April.
Well, and we want to talk about that after the break. I guess we got to go to a break here pretty quick. But I wanted to bring that up. Oh, maybe we got enough time here. I wanted to bring that up because it seems like your story is a lot different than the story on the other side of the table from our chief executive officer, Pontes. If somebody was blackmailing him, why wouldn't he just report that? And if it was you, I mean...
Well, why didn't he just come clean with it in the beginning when he was confronted with it? That's one of my questions is...
And the other question I have is this. If this is such their big plan for the jail, okay, how come those guys have been, how long has he been the CEO?
2.5 years.
How come it's just now coming up?
It's election time and there's consequences.
Well, I find it kind of funny that he comes out of Santa Barbara and then... Well, I don't know, the model comes out of Santa Barbara.
Right, and you know, unfortunately, this hub and spoke design, it is an old system. So I was very upset when this was brought forward. This is not
new. It's like 1880, I saw a picture of 1854 or
whatever
something.
It was,
like.
It's an old design. They've all been torn down. And if they've been working on that for 2 years and that's what they come up with, we're going to have some serious problems with that. We're all on the board committed to building a new jail, but not that. That was a stalling tactic. I was upset with both Sheriff Johnson, Eric Magrini, and CEO Matt Pontes for bringing something forward that is not going to fly in Shasta County. Now, we're going to build a jail, and we can build a jail, and we can build the jail and staff it with the funds that we have. But it has to be an efficient system. Mm-hmm. There are many jails. We don't have to redesign it. We don't have to pay to design one. They're already done. And we're going to do that. We're just going to have to... you know, get some of this leadership out of the way that has some bad ideas, but we're going to get there. But with regards to CEO Matt Pontes, I was hand-delivered some dossiers on April 8th of last month. That's as soon as I got it. I did not have it before. And it showed that he had a felony conviction for embezzlement in 94, followed up with another theft in 97, a theft with priors.
So that wasn't you digging. Someone passed you that information.
Correct. I'd heard things that he'd had a troubled youth, right? Petty thefts that had been expunged. That's about all I had heard prior. Now I'm seeing that he has a felony embezzlement and followed up 3 years later with another theft with priors. That was shocking to me, and so I simply called for a closed session discussion, so I want to know who, what, and when, and where. So Matt Pontes issued a press release on the 19th that said, Mr. Jones, Supervisor Jones, as uncovering some things from my young past. But then he goes on to say that over the last 3 months, he had been bullied, threatened, and blackmailed. He didn't say I did it. He just said he has been bullied, threatened, and blackmailed.
You know what? I'd like to, if we had anybody that in the media here that was actually a journalist, you know, in the paper, why wouldn't they follow up with the story of how that occurred?
Correct.
Why wouldn't you follow up with who blackmailed you? Was it just what, anonymous phone call? You know, did you have a meeting? Did they do it over lunch?
That would be getting down to the bottom and the truth of what actually transpired, not what they want you to believe.
Well, and the problem here is that...
I think we're going to get cut off.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her delegation vow U.S. support after meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky.
A U.S. congressional delegation led by Pelosi praised the Ukrainian people for their courage during a news conference in Poland. This comes a day after they made a surprise visit to the Ukrainian capital to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky.
We are proud to convey to him a message of unity from the Congress of the United States, a message of appreciation from the American people for his leadership, and admiration to the people of Ukraine for their courage.
The visit came 2 days after President Biden asked Congress for $33 billion in aid to assist Ukraine's fight against Russia, more than twice the size of his initial ask. Pelosi and her delegation vows long-term U.S. military, humanitarian, and economic support until it defeats Russia. I'm Naomi Shannon.
Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn is hailing Florida's decision to revoke self-governance for Disney after the entertainment giant used its power to attack the state's new parental rights law.
They said, hey, we're not going to put up with this. The bill that they passed and that the governor signed was a bill that said, parents, you're in charge.
Blackburn telling the Salem Radio Network that Florida has every right to push back on Disney for supporting the teaching of LGBT and gender identity issues to students kindergarten through third grade. Amazon and the nascent group that successfully organized the company's first ever U.S. union are heading for a rematch tomorrow. That's when a federal labor board will tally votes cast by warehouse workers in yet another Staten Island election. A second labor win could galvanize other groups around the country. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube, but almost nothing comes out? For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash-out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too hard to get out? It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. If you're interested in cashing out the extra pepper in your home, we're good at doing all the work while you just sit back and relax. And often, your mortgage payment and years in the loan will stay the same. If you'd like to hear about your options,
we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Fair housing advocates have announced a settlement to a lawsuit against real estate giant Redfin.
This settlement will expand housing opportunities for consumers in communities of color. Under the agreement announced on Friday, Seattle-based Redfin will change its minimum housing price policy and change other practices as well. The settlement will also pay $4 million to settle the suit. The National Fair Housing Alliance and nine other fair housing groups filed the lawsuit.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Warren Buffett gave Berkshire Hathaway investors a few details yesterday about how he spent more than $50 billion earlier this year, and again reassured them that the company he built will endure long after the 91-year-old billionaire is gone. Tens of thousands of investors packed an Omaha arena to listen to Buffett and Berkshire's vice chairman answer their questions at the annual meeting. News and analysis at townhall.com. A British lawmaker from the governing Conservative Party has stepped down.
Neil Parrish made the announcement Saturday after admitting he watched pornography on his phone in the House of Commons chamber. A member of Parliament since 2010, Parrish felt pressure from members of his own party who sought to defuse sleaze allegations before Britain holds its local elections May 5th. The ballot is seen as pivotal for Conservative Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who's already facing a voter backlash over lockdown-breaking parties in government offices during the pandemic. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Today is Sunday, May the 1st, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including singer Judy Collins, 83 years old today. Singer Rita Coolidge is 77. Hall of Fame jockey Steve Coffin has 62 candles on his birthday cake. Country singer Tim McGraw is 55. Movie director Wes Anderson is celebrating number 53. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Isn't blackmail illegal?
I don't know. I've never done it.
I guess it depends on who's doing it to whom.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I thought blackmail is illegal, and why? Where's the DA? If that really happened, wouldn't you report that to the DA if you were the CEO?
Yeah,
of the
wouldn't
county?
You get a visit?
Right. Well, and I don't know if any of that stuff happened or not, and I certainly had no part of it. What I do know is that Matt Pontus is a convicted felon for embezzlement, followed up 3 years later with another theft with priors. That's what I knew. That's what I reported. Once I received that information, I have an obligation to the public to expose and to get that information out to the public. And that should have happened 2.5 years ago. And if it did, he may or may not have been hired, but at least then he wouldn't have put himself in a possible situation of compromise. Because if there's certain people that knew it, say people like Leonard Modi or maybe, say, Eric Magrini, would they hold that over him? Absolutely. And there's some things that have been happening that clearly show that that possibility of that was ripe. And so information not disclosed to the board and, more importantly, to my bosses, which is the people. I did not know this information until April 8th. I did not know it any earlier. I think everybody around the county had heard that he'd had a rough youth, but he says the records show that this was as an adult, embezzlement as an adult, not a youth. And so, to me that's pretty shocking to have your CEO as a, and it's not that I don't want to give people a second chance, but because he did not disclose it 2.5 years ago, I believe that puts him in a bad position and compromise could happen.
Wouldn't it also put the Board of Supervisors in a bad way? Because at the time of hiring, either they knew or they didn't know, you know what I mean?
Obviously 2.5 years ago I wasn't there.
They didn't vet him or what?
Right. And so I wasn't there. I wasn't in that room 2.5 years ago, so I don't know. And, of course, there's several supervisors that two aren't there any longer.
Right.
Three were there.
Do all of them agree? Do you know that information?
So we had a closed session discussion, and unfortunately, things that happen in closed session cannot be reported out. So you'll have to ask those individuals as to what they knew and when and where. But, you know, I did my job. I put the information out there that should have been out there 2.5 years ago.
So I think that would be a question for Les Baugh, because I already know that Rickards and Chimenti said they knew. In open session, I heard them say that they knew about this. They were informed of this, you know, past record for Pontes. But I didn't hear anything from Les Baugh. He didn't say yay or nay. So is that a question that we should be asking Les Baugh at an open session? Did he know about it? Or he, because maybe he forgot. Would you forget something like that?
Possibly.
I think if it was described that he had a felony conviction for embezzlement, a lot of discussion would be around that.
Right.
And I would probably then ask to say, let's see your juvenile record. Let's see the court transcripts for the two acts that you were. And I would even go so far to say, let's have a polygraph to make sure that everything that you say was going on during those times, just to be clear, so
right.
that we don't have any surprises later on. If they were really interested in having him as your CEO, I just find it shocking that out of 40 million people, we can't find somebody for a CEO that doesn't have felony, you know, convictions for embezzlement. And but I did my job, and for that, then the media chastises me.
Of course, they do. It's called the wraparound smear. Anytime that there's something going against what they, you know, their narrative or their, you know, a political picture or whatever you want to call it.
Now I forgot.
That's what I'm saying. It's always then point the finger at somebody else. This has been a clear tactic politically for a lot of people for a long time. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. Now it's starting to come out with Durham.
Right.
Okay. Well, what's the first thing that when they said that she was spying on, or the Clinton campaign was spying on Trump, or that she was involved in anything? All of a sudden, it's all about Russia and Trump.
Well, and you know, I was only elected a little over a year ago, but there is a whistleblower that came forward with all this information. So I think in time, you're going to see all of this come out in time. Then the public can make the decision for themselves as to more detail on this. And then we'll go from there. So
if the public decided that they didn't want Pontes in there anymore, what could they do? Would it be like a recall? I mean,
no,
what if people said, okay, we're done with him. We want somebody else in there. We don't trust him to be in charge.
Except for the board of
Yeah, and so unfortunately, the people do not get to pick the CEO or deputy CEOs. That is done by the board. So if you were unhappy with your CEO, then you would put, you know, you would tell your supervisors this, and they can certainly, at any time, it's an at-will position, and we can take a look at it. And, you know, going forward, these races, you know, as we've all said, races have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
If some of these races go one way or another way, we might look at that in the new year and discuss it again, not only for that position, but for other positions as well. And, you know, there does seem to be a course correction coming, different ways of thinking, a more conservative way of thinking to reflect the people that are here in this county. And
I think people are starting to do a little bit of their own homework. It's just like if you didn't go to the Board of Supervisors meeting for a couple of years, you wouldn't know what they were because you never saw what their votes were. Well, people are starting to turn to other mediums. I mean, does anybody honestly in their right mind out there listen to Channel 7 or Channel 12 and expect to get told the truth about any local events?
Well, you know, for me, it's all about being well informed by your CEO and by the department heads. And you know, for example, with this jail, that we are all, it's obvious that the entire board wants to move forward rapidly on a new jail. We've been waiting for a presentation. I've received no updates. Before the presentation came that was done at the boardroom, I had no information on that prior. Nothing. I still don't even know
So no input from you guys.
No input.
You know what I got out of that presentation? I was a little bit taken back. It reminded me of the Big Dig in Boston, where we have these grand plans and everybody's in charge and we're going to do this, and this, and it's going to be humongous and it's going to be great and it's going to do everything and it's going to solve all of our problems and it's only going to cost this, except it never costs that. It always costs 10 times more. I mean, it's like they're building Versailles or something. That's what it was. The plans were so grandiose that I think it was just out of control stupid.
Well, and again, you know, that was 2 years worth of work to get to that point. And that tells me that that's not 2 years worth of work, right? That's about 1 day's worth of work on a design that's 300 years old. I was upset. I mean, I kind of was too,
because you know what that was? That was blowing smoke up my rear end.
Well, what I got out of it was, this is our plan, this is what we want, this is what you're going to do, and this is how it's going to work.
And, you know,
and don't ask any questions. You know what? Shut up and go on.
The other thing, too, that was funny for me is that all the people that I don't want in charge seem to be putting in charge. You know, Eric Magrini is going to come over as the new head of everything, and he's going to be in charge. And then Pontus is going to be in charge. And all these guys that I'm having trouble with as far as, you know, what they're doing, their honesty, their spending, their accountability, they're the ones that are going to be in charge of everything.
Well, and I tell you, this thing's what they had come up with is an albatross for sure. And I certainly wouldn't want to put my name on it like Sheriff Johnson did. The Johnson Wheel of Justice is just not that. The people here have spoken loudly. We want a jail. We want an efficient jail. The design's already done. We own land on Breslau and other places that would accommodate. We are going to move forward on this. We're just going to have to get some dead weight out of the way.
Well, yeah. And I listened to Chris Kellstrom on the prior program, Jefferson State of Mind, and I like the idea. I guess you guys are on the same page on that one. Of why not use some of that, you know, land development thing out there at Stillwater that's just been sitting idle for and a complete loss. I mean, I don't even. Did it ever break even? Ever?
Well, it will never break even. I voted, I don't know, 18 times no on that. It's not the job of the city to build a business park. They're going to lose money. It will never recoup the amount of money that they spent on it. However, I don't think that's the right place for the jail. And the reason why is because, and I think the reason why Breslauer is the right place is because we own land there. We have sewer and water connections now. Juvenile hall is there. The Sheriff's Department is over there. Health and Human Services is over there. Because I do want to have Health and Human Services go into the jail as soon as you have an inmate, go in and start working with that individual to see if there's any ways to make improvements with that person. And it's all can be done right there. Now, this stuff has all been done over and over. We're not recreating anything new or fancy here. We just haven't done it. But pretty soon here, we're going to start. And I think we just need to get some common sense here and not let this thing get out of control to make it a 12-year career-ending project, which is what it was sounding like.
That's kind of where I was at, too.
And we don't have to raise sales tax in order for that to happen either, if I understand it correctly.
This is going to turn into, like, $500 million-plus is what I was
You know, what I want is it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a showplace. It is going to be a jail that we can expand. I like the system where we can add modular jail pods, if you will, cells. Those cells are out there. If you Google online, you'll see a lot of modern constructions that we can build in phases. We build the big shell first, and then you add what you need. There's some easy, simple ways to accommodate for holding people accountable, which is exactly what the people of Shasta County have told us to do.
Right.
So we're going to do it. We just got to... it'll be a little bumpy before it smooths out.
Well, and I think you could do a lot of things if you guys did do this forensic audit and you go in and you streamline some of these departments. I mean, the Health and Human Service sticks out like a sore thumb, half the budget. And, I mean, Karen Ramstrom wouldn't even return people's phone calls, you know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to stand either. I mean, I think that she should be fired immediately. That's my position.
Well, there's, you know, we do have a closed session for Tuesday, just kind of stay tuned. We'll see what happens there. And I do have to depart now. I'm sorry for coming in late, but I have to head over to Dill's Deli because I'm hungry.
What are you looking at my hat?
I see your hat. It's a good hat. Yeah, I think that was hot off the presses last night.
Yeah, yeah. I actually won that with a $20 gift certificate.
Well, thank you guys for having
me
on.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right, very good.
Very much.
All right, so
covered a lot of territory there on that.
And as soon as they started talking about firing Ramstrom, all of a sudden the conversation ended. I don't know what happened.
Well, you know, we're talking about money and her. I mean, she gets $20,000 a month and all the different positions.
What's wrong with that?
Health and Human Services. You don't think that there's a way to cut some of the money down there? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I just think that these guys are out of control down there.
They have been. When you stop and look at it, I mean it.
We want to thank Patrick for coming in, and we appreciate his candor.
And please, stay tuned because this is an important thing with what's going on in the county. And people need to be aware of what's going on. I mean, it does make a difference.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely does. So, okay. I guess we got some things to talk about. There's always Klaus Schwab.
Did you get that email? I think that one was the second one, or maybe it was the first. That's his second hand man. Remember, Dr. Well, he's beyond evil.
I don't know if I got an email or did you send
me? Yeah, I did. It's from my text.
Probably went to junk. That's where everything goes these days. Is everything's going to junk? I don't know if anybody notices that.
We might
that.
Be able to, but it was kind of going over more of what he talked about before when we played him about the.
First thing I'm going to talk about before we go there is I want to talk about the new Ministry of Health, or I'm sorry, Ministry of Truth. This new Biden's administration is named Nina Jankowicz, who previously claimed that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian influence op. As the head of the board of Department of Homeland Security's new disinformation governance board, it sounds a lot like the Ministry of Truth out of 1984. She was quoted saying, "I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists took over more platforms. What would it look like for the marginalized communities which are already shouldering the disproportionate amount of abuse?" What doublespeak? This is so right out of 1984. And let me tell you something. This lady is nuts, okay?
It seems to be a common theme among these
she's
guys.
She's nuts! Okay, I'm ready to play a little clip here. It's about a minute, if Jared's got it all hooked up in there. I ran across this. This is her singing to the Mary Poppins tune.
Oh, I have heard this. Oh, yeah, this is,
It's like, it's WTF.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I'm at a loss for words to even, and you look at this gal, and you look in her eyes, you go, she's freaking 5150. She's crazy. She's loonier than a freaking, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we ready? Yeah. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is our new, what's her title? This is our new, her title is going to be the Homeland Security's new head of Disinformation Governance Board. And here she is talking to everybody through the music.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh!
This is the point of the show. We're going to say we're kidding. We're making all of this up. It's not really.
Okay, that was Tucker Carlson at the end of it. But the real deal is this lady's nuts. I mean. Okay, so she was supported, you know, the laptop was disinformation. I mean,
right,
she supported so many things. Everything that Fauci said was golden. I mean, this lady couldn't recognize the truth if it kicked her in the head.
And she's
and
the one
now
that's
she's
making
the one
decisions.
In charge of telling everybody,
everybody
what the truth is.
Good.
This is just censorship. Ship, this is right out of the playbook, communist playbook, you know, the disinformation camp. I mean, you know, Stalin had the Ministry of Truth, you know, Hitler had the Ministry of Truth, you know, Castro had the Ministry of Truth. I mean, this
again,
is...
Again, do we see a common denominator here?
Because free speech is bad for everybody, right?
Oh, and the truth is.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, my free speech isn't... You know, I shouldn't be able to have it. Them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Works both ways. Remember, two-way street. But, you know, that's the way they look at everything.
It's just so screwy. And, of course, being appointed by the Biden administration, they haven't got any problems either, right? Because, I mean, they don't even recognize the fact that if they don't cheat their way out of it, they're going to get creamed in the fall.
Well, yeah. They think they're going to get away with it and they're going to walk away and everything's going to be great.
If you haven't seen 2000 Mules trailer, you need to Google it. This goes for, you know, it's like I was listening to a little bit of Pete Peter's show and he mentioned 2000 Mules to Stephanie Bridget. It's like a joke. Like, oh, you know, and the real deal is that, you know, that if you, as the DA, if you saw the evidence that there was voter fraud across the country in key swing states, would you just ignore that fact? Would you just act like it didn't happen? Would you act like, you know, there's nothing to see here and it's a nothing burger?
No, you're not supposed to follow the evidence. Don't you know that?
So, I mean, you just can't make this crap up. So we'll see what happens with this. And Monday is the showing. I think they're all sold out. And so I don't think you're going to get in, but they are having a...
They're doing live stream like on the 7th, and I'm not sure what that means, you know, if it costs or anything about it. But I do know on the 7th they're doing a live stream with it.
They're doing a live stream on it, and it's actually a virtual premiere is what they're saying. And that's on Saturday, May 7th. You can check it. Go to 2000mules.com, and they show you where to look and how to get hooked up on that. But I've seen a couple of trailers, and I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
There's something here. And you can't keep ignoring evidence, and you can't keep pretending that the election wasn't cheated. And you can't keep pretending that the election wasn't stolen because, you know.
Yeah, and it's not just this film. It's coming out more and more. More and more people. Remember Mike Lindell did it. There's so many different sources. They're coming up with the same evidence of something that wasn't quite right.
Do we know that Twitter took a sitting president off of, you know, took their account away, disabled their account? Wow, that's not cheating, is it? That's not like
election. And now they're all screaming because of Elon on Twitter, you know.
Well, because that he said something about that the Hunter Biden laptop should have been reported before the election. See, it's not just one thing, but this is the big thing. When you've got people tracked with geo-tracking going from ballot box to ballot box, and we're not talking 5 or 10 people.
No, it's something like 54 of them or something like that.
Well, no, it's 2,000 people going.
54, yeah.
Yeah, 2,000 people going from ballot box to ballot box to ballot box many times over and depositing on camera in front of you. You can see him shuffling the ballots in, which is illegal no matter whether it changed the election or not.
And you could say, well, maybe they staged that, but then, you know, they actually took pictures and they had tracking systems and stuff and everything.
You can't stage it.
Yeah, exactly. So if you look at all the evidence that goes with that, you can see that it wasn't staged.
Well, the reason it's not staged is because they use the cameras from the as part of
some
of the
paid.
Well, no, from the election law, they changed it so that they put cameras over the ballot boxes as part of the election law. They just didn't think anybody was going to access it or do anything with it. So they've got like 4 million hours or something.
Something like that, it's amazing how many
of these pictures of people shoving stuff in the ballot boxes. At what point in time do you go, was that enough to change the election? Well, if you run the numbers.
It doesn't take a lot to figure that out.
So we'll see what happens.
It's pretty interesting. I can't wait to actually see the movie and see all of the evidence.
It's a good question. How many were not tracked? Well, they didn't track. They didn't show everybody in the movie. They only tracked 2,000 of them. Okay, there was more, I'm sure.
Well, because if they changed the law, wouldn't there have to be those cameras on all ballot boxes?
Well, evidently,
maybe it's state by state.
State by state, I believe. But they did it in enough states,
right?
That they have it all on camera now, and you can't say it was staged because it was their cameras. They did a Freedom of Information Act to get their footage from their cameras, the election officials. And the geo-tracking was got, you know, they paid, it was like $2 million to get the tracking from, I don't know, AT&T or Verizon or whoever holds the geo-tracking. Maybe it was Homeland Security. You can do Freedom of Information Acts. I don't remember specifically where they got it, but it wasn't their geo-tracking. It was the geo-tracking from just people on their cell phones.
Yeah, they just happened to have the money in order to get the information.
Well,
they took a lot of money.
They had to raise the money. I know it was at least $2 million.
Yeah.
So it's It's off the charts. We know, everybody knows something was wrong in the election. Everybody feels that 81 million votes for Joe is a joke. He couldn't even fill up a backyard full of people. You know, you got Trump filling up stadiums. You know, there's parades going everywhere, boat regattas. You know, tons of people are supporting Trump, and none of that for Biden. And he wins by that much. The most votes in history.
Well, let's hope with this, you know, that people start being held accountable, because this, you know, opens up the door and showing people exactly what's going on with the votes.
Well, what needs to happen is a complete course correction. We need to get rid of the local guys. We need to get rid of the state guys. We need to make sure we're getting honest and fair elections. And we need to get rid of all of the entrenched deep state at every level, at every level of government from now on until we get the house cleaned out here. Because that's what's going on. This is a complete fraud. Whether it's election, whether it's pretending you're a Republican, you know, these guys are all making money, they're making bank, you know, they're entrenched like ticks into the system, and that's where they get all their income. It's just like right now. I bet you if you polled the department heads of the county and asked them, are we having economic problems?
They would say no.
Well, they might say yes, but they would say, well, it's not that bad. We're not in the worst economic cycle ever.
No, because I'm still collecting my $20,000 a month.
Inflation's not so bad, you know, because...
As long as I got my paycheck at $20,000 a month, what's the problem?
$6 a gallon for me is absorbable, okay? But what happens when it's $14 a gallon? Is that still absorbable? What happens when it's... $20 a gallon. Is that something that we can see on the horizon? Yeah, because they're not even stopping spending the money. He's talking about a $33 billion more to send to Ukraine, and if you look at the Fed balance sheet, they're not stopping any spending at all. They're going to start tightening interest rates. But that's going to be too little too late. The only way the interest rates are going to have any effect is if you tighten the interest rates faster than the rate of inflation.
That's not going to happen.
Well, exactly. So if the rate of inflation is 8-9%, the only way you're going to slow down the cash flowing into the economy is if you raise interest rates above 8 or 9%. What do you think right now would happen if they raised interest rates to 10%?
Oh, my God. It would explode.
The whole
or
thing.
Implode.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, whichever way you want to say that.
Yeah.
People will be hurting big time. They're already starting to hurt with everything that's going on, even at $5 a gallon for gas. And there's a lot of things you can't even get. Right. So what happens when you can't get any of it?
Well, what happens when you go to buy a house in Shasta County and then the prime lending rate is 12%? How many people are going to be selling houses? And so are the house prices going to go down? Absolutely, because nobody can afford to buy them at that rate. And I want to mention that Shasta County Citizens Journalism will be doing interviews before the 7 p.m. screening of 2,000 Mules. That is tomorrow. And I like CNN is withering away. CNN Plus and Disney Plus.
Well, so many people left.
So screwed up. So let's go to our caller.
Okay, we've got Dar on the line. Good morning, Dar.
Yes, good morning. You're talking about elections and voting.
Yes.
I had a strange thing happen, and maybe should people be alerted about this. I think it was Charlene from the registrar's office called me. She says, we have a problem with your voting registration, which I've been registered here on and off for the last 40 years. When I left, I called them and told them I was leaving, and then I came back. She said that you can't have a post office box. I said, I don't have a post office box. I've never had a post office box. Well, we have a post office box for you, and you live in Cottonwood. I said, I don't live in Cottonwood. I live in Palo Cedro. I said, what's going on? And she says, I don't know. And she said, have you been to DMV lately? And I said, no, because, you know, it's been closed. I did renew my license over the Internet. But anyway, it just made me wonder, how in the world, after all these years, I get given I'm given a Cottonwood address and post office box. She did send me a new card, but I know that before the election, I will be either going down there or calling them to make sure that I can vote.
Well, I think everybody should go directly to the election office and drop their ballot off there. That's what I think.
Have you been voting the whole time, Dar?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
I go to Palisadro. I go over there personally. I do not use absentee ballot. And I told her I didn't want one, and she said, well, we have to send them out. It's the law.
So up to just recently, you've been able to vote in Palisadro where you normally do, and they have all the correct information?
Yes. The last time I voted, there was no problem, which was the presidential election. And I went over and gave them my ballot, and then I voted. You know,
right.
But she called me, which, I mean, it just, I don't understand. I wonder, I mean, it just really... What's going on?
You know, well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
And I just wonder if anybody else has got. I would have never known about it if she didn't call me. I mean, I'm so glad she called me. I thought that was very. She just. I don't know. Maybe she's an honest person.
Well,
there are some people that work in the office that truly believe in, you know, doing their job correctly.
Yeah, she and I had more than one conversation with her because we're trying to figure out what was going on. So finally she just said, I'm going to just make you a new card and send it out, she said. Mm-hmm. And so she did. And then I just wondered if you heard about the news about Pelosi.
What happened with Pelosi?
You probably haven't.
No.
Well, she's evidently purchasing a home down in Jupiter Island in Florida.
I did hear that a couple weeks ago. I didn't verify it, but yeah, it seems like everybody's moving to Florida.
Yeah, Jupiter Island. That's where Tiger Woods lives. Jupiter Island is by West Palm Beach. I mean, by Palm Beach, because I used to live in Jupiter, and I had a student in Jupiter Island. But I thought, what's going on? I mean, she's supposed to represent us here, and now she's moving to Florida.
But she's Nancy.
Well, you know, I mean, she doesn't really represent anybody here. I mean,
she probably doesn't have a choice to get out of California here pretty soon. But we want to thank you for calling in, Dar, and letting us know about that. And if anybody else is having problems,
people should kind of heads up. Maybe they should check their, make sure they can vote.
I was going to say everybody should check how they're registered and everything, the status. Like Rich says in the chat room, before you go vote and before the primaries, to make sure that all your information is correct.
I've never had this problem before. Another thing is, I don't understand if they're going to have poll watchers there. Are they allowing poll watchers this time?
Oh, they had poll watchers last time. We had quite a few, and we have people that are most definitely going to be watching at the polls. I don't know if we have them all covered. I assume that they will be, but there's definitely poll watchers, yes.
And one more question. When are the Patriot meetings going to start again? Are they having them now, or are they not going to have them anymore?
Well,
it's
morphed into the Freedom Coalition on Thursday nights at the church on Twinview. They're not really doing it's not the Tea Party or the Patriots, but the Freedom Coalition has now sort of come to the forefront because there's a lot of young people involved in that, and you know, the next generation is starting to figure out they have to get involved, so that's where most of it is happening these days.
So and it's a lot of the
so
same.
So I can go to those meetings?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they're open to the public.
And what time is that?
6 o'clock.
And where is it?
It's a church on Twinview Boulevard, and right now
I'll pull up the address here and I'll...
Okay. Yeah, I always get it wrong when I do it, but they... We'll get the address, and we'll put that out over the air.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. Dar, we're going to have to go. Okay. We've got to take a break. We appreciate you calling, and you have a great day. And this is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, my time went so quickly. I went lickety splitly out to my old 55. As I pull away slowly, feeling so holy, God knows I was feeling alive. Yeah.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomenon, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
I used to love that song, Little Deuce Coupe. I get pushed out of shape and it's hard to steer. When I catch rubber in all four gears, I used to love that. Now, not so much. Anyway, that's for Cool April Nights out there. And we wanted to let everybody know they can. There's a show and shine things going on all day long out there. We've got... See, what do we got today on Cool April Nights? We've got, we've got Cool April Nights winning cars on display. That's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. I think we still got another hour or so of that. You've got, we missed the pancake breakfast. We got Car Corral. That's at the auditorium over at 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then we got classic Shasta Car Classic Poker Walk. That's over. Engine ticket drawing, that's pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well over after then, noon today.
1 o'clock I think is pretty much it. So, that's Cool April Nights. I didn't really, get involved in too much this year because we had so many other things going, like, me taking a nap. But,
Well, there you have it. But it was nice that they were able to do the cruise and the cars come out because that hasn't happened for a couple of years.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it was a big draw and a good boost for the economy locally here, and so it's all good.
I think a lot of more of that stuff is starting to happen again.
I want to reach out there to do a shout out to everybody out there, and if you've got anything you want to call in about, go right ahead. We've got a little time to kill, if somebody's got any announcements out there that they want to make or some information they want to get out to the public, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We've got about 15 minutes left. In the meantime, I guess if we don't have any callers, we'll go to Klaus Schwab. And how the CFR taught him to stop worrying and love the bomb.
Whatever.
Well, that's an old takeoff on what's that old movie with Slim Pickens riding the bomb? Peter Sellers. I can't remember the name of it now. But evidently, Klaus has some pretty good mentors. One was Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger was not I don't believe a very good guy for our country. And, this goes way back. These guys go back to the communists and the brown shirts and, the League of Nations and so forth. You know, it just cracks me up that you have so many people that dismiss all this as, you got to stop the social misinformation, the social media misinformation. Do any of these guys check out any of this stuff? Do they actually go look at any of the stories?
I don't think they do. They just listen to, like, mainstream media and they go, oh, no, that's not true. This is,
Yeah, I mean, we had another, 1,000 point drop in the Dow day before yesterday, Friday, I don't even know. It's been, having a 1,000 point swing in the Dow is just like normal now.
Kinda.
Yeah, so they're talking about a sell-off. I don't think that the sell-off is here yet. I mean, we might have a drop a little more and have a correction, but
well, we know that things are changing, that's for sure, and there is something going to happen, whether you can call it whatever you want. Yeah, because it can't keep going the way it is, and that you have other countries that won't accept U.S. dollars anymore, and that becomes a problem.
Well, if you're Russia, yeah, why would you? And so I guess it was like a 900 point sell off in on the Dow on Friday. But I don't think this thing's going to happen until we see the 10-year start shooting through the roof. But I guarantee you we're going to go into meltdown here on the stock market at some point. And that's going to get some people's attention, because if all of a sudden your pension plan isn't worth what you thought it was worth.
Yeah, what happens when you really don't have any money in the golden egg? And I'm afraid a lot of people that's going to happen to, or is happening to right now. They think they have all this money stocked away and.
Well, funny that you bring this up.
We do have a caller.
We've
got Rally Sally. Good morning, Rally Sally.
There you have it.
Good morning. Yeah, you're inviting people to call in, and I just wanted to touch base and let people know that their ballots will soon be coming out in the mail. The vote by mail ballots are the biggest hoax that's ever been perpetrated on us.
Boy.
And I think that's what the movie, The 2000 Mules, is going to show.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people to vote in person, because think about it. You know, the vote by mail ballots, it's real easy and they've simplified things, right? Well, you put your ballot in the mail, and where does it go? It goes to Sacramento.
Yeah. No cheating going on there.
Yeah. And how many people handle it between the time you put it in your mailbox, it goes to Sacramento, it gets processed there, and then it comes back to Reading and goes to the registrar's office. How many people have handled your ballot by that time? And then it's examined to see if there's any, if it's been torn or coffee's been spilled on it. Has it got caught in the sorter? And you'll never know whether it has damage on it or not. And so then those damaged ballots have to be duplicated and they're remade and then they're copied over by election officials.
Right.
What could
go
wrong?
Yeah, you don't even know at that point if your ballot ever really made it.
Exactly. And so you've got it's left in the hands of two individuals, and nobody's overseeing that. And then So I just encourage everybody to vote in person. Take your ballot and the envelope to the registrar's office. If you can't do it the day of, they are usually open, you know, prior to.
Mm-hmm.
But take it in person and don't fall for the trick that they say, would you like to put it in the mailbox here that's right there at the voter registration office? No. Tell them you want to take it upstairs and put it through the machine yourself.
Right.
I think, yeah.
Right. Well, and, you know, another side note to this whole thing is that they changed a lot of these election laws due to this declared emergency called COVID.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a coinkydink, you do understand.
Yes. We are one of the counties in California that still have precincts. Now, many counties are going to precinctless voting, which means you can go anywhere. You don't have to go in your precinct and vote. So it's getting harder and harder to, you know, to
verify.
Not
see. Yeah, mm-hmm. To verify. I mean, and that's the that's what this is all about. I mean, you got to be a blind man to think that these people aren't setting this whole thing up to cheat.
Right, yep. And now everybody gets a ballot for mail-in ballots, correct?
Everybody gets one.
Yeah.
Yep. Some people get two.
Or three.
Yeah.
There is that. But it never used to be that way. Not everybody received the ballot to mail in.
That's right. That's right. And I think
it's created some confusion.
And I know that Kathy Ellen Darling, on your program, said that she did not believe in voter ID.
That is true. Right. She did say, well, she was very clear on that.
She's a Democrat. I mean, let's be honest with, she's a Democrat, and she has, you know, not said it out loud, but everybody knows it. I mean, I think she's registered as a Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, but even at that, why wouldn't you want voter ID? I'm confused.
Because it's, yes, it's all about power. And
she likes the Dominion voting machine.
Yes, she right. does. She made that clear as well.
Well, and I think the Dominion voting machines might be a distraction from the real issue, which is the ballot harvesting and the ballot stuffing. I mean, and I think that's what 2,000 Mules is going to show us. This was, and I think they cheated in many different ways, whether it was controlling the internet, you know, and then you look at this as a whole, you got to go, who has the power or the money or the influence to do this on that large of a scale, even if it's just in those five states that won the election?
Right.
Yes, well, those were the states they pinpointed. They knew they had to win those states.
Right. And that takes some coordination. That takes some planning. That's not something, yeah, that's not something somebody just came up with off the cuff the night before the election.
Yep.
So that's kind of scary.
So anyway, also there's a debate on Tuesday evening at the library. I don't know if you mentioned this. You might
not
have.
No, we didn't.
Not yet.
Okay, and it's a debate between the two superintendent of schools candidates, Judy Flores,
all right,
and Brian Capel. So,
at the library.
Who's monitoring? Yeah. Who's putting it on?
This is the League of Women Voters.
Hmm. Yeah, is this a debate or a forum?
It's probably a forum.
Which means that they pre-select the questions and then determine who they're going to ask.
Yeah, they have the people usually write out their questions and then they select the ones they want to ask.
Well, if it's anything like the Republican one, you know, the ones that were selected were the guys that were on the Republican Central Committee that seemed to be favoring one candidate over the other.
Yes.
So.
But if, excuse me, somebody wants to go, what time is that?
It's at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Okay.
6 o'clock at the library.
Oh,
all right. Well, thank you for the information.
Oh, I just have another question.
Yeah.
Why is it that the Democrats seem to be in, supporting all of the incumbents?
Yeah, that's really interesting, too, isn't it? Why is it that the ones that are the loudest at the Board of Supervisors meeting and wherever else you want to show up to are all the mostly the Democrats that are supporting the incumbents or the established Republicans?
Yep.
That's just a coincidence as well.
All right, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Yeah, nothing to see here. I mean, that's such a good point that they just keep glossing over. Why does the biggest Marxist in town show up to support the guys that were being recalled, for example?
Yeah.
Why is it that they show up?
Well, everything's been going along just fine for them.
Why did they show up at the Republican Central Committee meeting to support the incumbents, to support the establishments? Why is that? Can anybody explain that to me? Because I guess if, I look like a duck, I quack like a duck, I'm a chicken?
No, you're a cow.
Oh, I'm a cow. Maybe that's what it is. Shit.
You got to get the story right, you know?
But
yeah.
You got to wonder, what dog do they have in the hut? Why would they care? Why would they care? Are they just trying to divide everybody?
No, that wouldn't be it.
No, I'm thinking it's like because they support the candidate that is in power. Because
they've been getting what they want how they want. Everything's been crazy.
Isn't that the definition of being what you are? If you say you're this, but you do everything that makes you that, how can you say that you're this and not that? Yeah. I mean, I
can say anything I want.
I learn really slow, but I learn really good. Okay? If you tell me you're a Republican, but you do everything that a Democrat does, then I'm going to say that you are not a Republican, but you're telling me a Republican, but you're really a Democrat, and you're lying to me and the public to say that you are a Republican because you couldn't get elected if you said I'm an out-and-out Democrat, Marxist, liberal liar.
Yeah, that doesn't work too well. And with that, I wanted to put out, we said before we went to break, to get the address for the Freedom Coalition, and it's at 621 Twin View. And I guess that's on the corner of Twin View, and I just lost it. Sorry about that.
That's the corner. It's on Twin View Boulevard.
Twin View and Valley Ridge.
Yeah, what happens is if you're going down Twin View and you turn on Valley Ridge, then it loops back up into the church. It's kind of on a little knoll there.
Oh, so there you go for those who needed that. And it's open to the public, and it starts at 6 p.m. every Thursday.
So getting back to our pensions. I have an article.
About the money going away and not having it?
I have an article here, and I'm not sure who the author of this is. Let me look. It says
survey. That would be a problem in California with the CalPERS and stuff?
No, not at all.
Oh.
But this is saying pension funds increasingly recognize gold's diversification potential. Because if the stock market crashes and you are nothing but stock because they've been propping it up with money that's been borrowed out of thin air, sort of called counterfeiting, and you keep buying stock and stuffing it in the market to keep the prices up, and all of a sudden the whole thing crashes and you're nothing but stock, do you have a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, your pension's good.
It's all good. Good.
You're invested in Iranian oil wells. What's the problem? See, what these guys don't understand is why, when you look around, I was watching a program on Canelo Alvarez. You know, he's middleweight champion. He's got holds five belts. Guy's got bucks. But if you look at any guy who has long-term wealth, what are they investing in? You know, okay, they're investing into real estate. They're investing into collector automobiles. They might be investing
in real property.
Real estate. They might be investing in high-end art.
Right.
And then they usually have gold and silver and precious metals along with stocks. So if they're diversified across all those things, so if one takes a hit, you don't get screwed up completely by, owning just that.
Right.
You know, if real estate dumps.
Well, that's part of being diversified is to be across many areas.
Platforms. And each platform could have a good upswing in the market depending on the current market conditions.
Right.
You know, like real estate was a great investment 10 years ago.
Not so much now.
Well, maybe not. If the interest rates go up, it still might be a good investment over time. But investing in the dollar right now, as they keep counterfeiting it out, maybe not so much. You know,
because there's no value in it at all. So investment is not a good way to go.
Going back to the gold and the pension funds, most of these people have no idea what they're invested in, Period. They don't know what stocks they're in. Oh, I'm in high yield bonds. Well, that's screwy.
Well, they just take it for granted that they invested their money, the people that they gave their money to invested it correctly, and they're going to get a 6% return or whatever that they were promised. And guess what? They lied to you.
What if you're all invested in stocks that they're going to be worthless in a year. You know, that's the problem. And that's what's happening when you got this kind of money flowing into the stock market. What happens when the jig is up and you have a 1929 moment, which is what we're headed on course for?
And with that, we are at the end of the show.
All right. Well, there's the music.
Yep.
All right. So all I have to say is those who... don't know the truth or ignorant, but those who know the truth and say nothing are evil. Government is not reason, is not eloquence, it is force like fire, is dangerous servant, and our fearful master, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yep, have a good week, and this is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.